It's that time of year when melancholy can set in as the days shorten and the rains come. And each year our All Saints Remembrance can feel like a time of melancholy too, as we read the list of names and find it hard to imagine that we have lost all these precious saints. When I was new to the congregation, this Sunday wasn't very hard. And for those of you who are new to our community, you might not know the people behind the names that we will say aloud today. But for old-timers, this day is a reminder of friends who we loved who are no longer with us. And that can be hard. We call them saints, not because they were perfect or even necessarily all good. They were human, and they were loved, and they left their mark on the world. Were it not for Gloria Davis, we might never have had Goodnight Moon or Charlotte's Web. Almost 4,000 children were brought into this world because Dr. Ben Jones tended to their mothers during their pregnancies. Bonnie Hensley inspired us with that gift of her extraordinary voice, all the while engineering water fights at home with her family. Gloria Colvin served those living on the margins in Portland when she was executive director of FISH. Polly Kurtz ensured that her children would love everything there was to love about books. Sue Reif could make something beautiful, serve a fantastic meal, make people feel welcome, all the while being her hilarious self. Chrissy Thomas started a nonprofit for families with medically fragile children so that other families would not have to go through what hers did in trying to find caregivers for their children. Betty Fry, wearing her librarian hat, introduced children to the love of reading. Dr. Bruce Huntwork served the people in Iran and then came home and with his wife Anne helped those who are considered the least among us. Mary Jo Anderson, Jan Pratt, Janet Smithwick, Carol Thomas, Ellie Lifke, who used to sit right over there, Jerry Larson, Bill Klein, beloved children of God, beloved friends and church members, beloved parents, beloved spouses, all these blessed the world with their presence, and we miss them. What then shall we say about these things? Let us say that we will call them saints, not because they were perfect, but because they believed that God had something to do with the good in their life. Let us say that we will call ourselves saints too. Remembering what Nelson Mandela said, "I am not a saint, unless you think of a saint as a sinner who keeps on trying." So perhaps this day in which some of us are very sad in our grief, we might hear a word of hope for ourselves as we think about the saints. The early Christians used the word saint to describe anyone who was part of their community, a follower of Jesus. Our Presbyterian understanding of saints is someone who is loved by God and loves God in return. So we are saints too, and someday our names will be read on the first Sunday in November. And someone might say something true or kind about us, remembering what we offered the world, remembering how we made a difference in the world, or in the life of the church, or in the life of one other human being. While being a saint is in part about what happens after we die, it's also about how we choose to live in our day and in our age. It's been a tender week for me, as this is my first All Saints Remembrance since my own father died. I wanted to get through it, so I have pushed away the tears, which is not a healthy thing to do, so don't do that. And I might be overanalyzing it, but I think that our house has picked up on our psyche, because this week when I was trying very hard not to cry, our basement sink sprang a leak and water got everywhere, because water will get out one way or another. And I will confess that I have not behaved in a very saint-like manner in dealing with the leaking sink and the water in the basement. It is now fixed, thank you to the plumber. I have not behaved in a very saint-like manner, but every day is a new opportunity to consider how we will live out our identity as saints on earth. We never do that alone. Sainthood is always within a community. And we happen to have a community right here where we can practice being saints with one another. Last week, Saint Miguel and Saint Michelle made an extraordinarily delicious meal for all of us. Saint Miguel stood on large cans at the stove cooking the taquitos that about 10 other saints had rolled earlier in the morning. Feeding people is the work of the saints, be it our own people for an after-worship lunch, or the people who show up at Grace Church on a Friday night, or, as Saint Shell does, taking a wagon full of grilled cheese sandwiches to those living in tents. While we were feasting and playing in the Great Hall last week, St. Steve and St. Trevor, our custodians, were dealing with the flood of water that had come down the steps into the building and into the Marcus Whitman room. They wet-vacked it, they put up the fans, they put up the dehumidifiers, and then they called the professionals. They got soaking wet in the process, so if you see one of our custodians, please thank them. Making a space hospitable is the work of the saints, be it cleaning after a drain stops up, or ensuring that a place is well lit and at a comfortable temperature, or welcoming people in a warm manner so they will know that we are glad they are here. And last Sunday, some of the matron saints of our church gathered in Vernonia, led by Saint Lori Lynn. They gathered to take some deep breaths together, to check in on the state of their souls, and to get to know one another. Even saints need a rest now and then, a time for Sabbath, a time set apart to reflect on self and God. Honoring the Sabbath is the work of the saints, be it going on retreat or coming to worship or turning off all those loud devices and doing nothing but simply being. This morning, with help from St. Debbie and St. Michael of the organ bench, the saints in the choir gathered to warm up and practice their music, which they share with us. And tonight, the saints of the bells will gather right over there and practice their music, because creating beauty is the work of the saints. The beauty of a song, the beauty of a piece of art, the beauty of a pencil drawing on a doodle pad by a child who may be a little bored in church. I could go on and talk about the saints of the Adult Education Committee, who help us expand our minds and deepen and challenge our understanding of God, or the saints of the Property Committee, who keep this building together so that we might use it as a tool for ministry and open it up to the larger Portland community. Worship for Life, teacher saints, deacon saints, food and clothing donation saints, teenage saints, small saints, old saints, doubting saints, radiant saints. I wish you all could stand up here and see what I see. See the cloud of witnesses here on earth. It is hopeful and it is humbling. So I encourage you to consider your own sainthood, to think about how you are living out the reality that God loves you and calls you to love in return. It's understandable that any of us might not feel up to the task, but take encouragement from these words from one of my favorite living saints, author Frederick Buechner. The feet of the saints are as much of clay as anybody else's, and their sainthood consists less of what they have done than of what God has chosen, for whatever reason, to do through them. When you consider that Saint Mary Magdalene was possessed by 7 devils, that Saint Augustine prayed, "Give me chastity and continence, but not now," that Saint Francis started out as a high-living young dude in downtown Assisi, and that St. Simeon Stylites spent years on top of a 60-foot pillar. You figure that maybe there's nobody God can't use as a means of grace, including even ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.